I'm happy to welcome back to the program Jackie Fleming. She's founder of the Cimarron Sky Dog Reserve, and she is here to talk to us about the Wild Horse Film Showcase, which is happening this Friday and Saturday. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Now, you're always doing something amazing and interesting having to do with wild horses, whether it's a photo contest, now a set of film screenings. It's amazing that there are enough movies about wild horses at this point where you can have a film showcase.
Well, actually, there seems to be a run on them right now. There's a bunch coming out. Don't ask me to say the titles, but there's a bunch of new ones this year alone. It seems to be a subject that is finally catching on, which is great, because to me, one of the reasons why I wanted to do film was it captures people's imaginations, and more than somebody standing on a podium giving a speech or doing a slideshow, film can really get people emotionally and pull them in and get them involved in what's happening to wild horses.
So what is happening to wild horses?
Well, the short story is that they're being rounded up, and there's probably about 25,000 to 30,000 left in the wild out of millions. So it was about 2 million at the beginning of the 1900s. And they are being stockpiled, if you like, by the BLM in holding pens, and there's close to 50,000 of them now being stored, as some people call it, in the holding pens, BLM holding pens, waiting for adoption. But it's extremely dubious that they will ever be adopted, because there just isn't enough homes available for them, and they are not the easiest horse to take in. You need to be able to train them and work with them.
Well, they're wild horses. I mean, are they wild horses because one generation ago somebody released a horse that they couldn't take care of, or are they wild horses as of kind of forever? Or?
Well, sure, there's probably a few that did get released into the wild, but the original wild horses date right back to the 1600s, and they probably even came from Santa Fe, actually, because the original wild horses, Mustangs, were Spanish horses that escaped and flourished and spread out, and over 300-400 years they turned into big herds, and no doubt mixed with other horses, wagon horses, military horses, farm horses, etc. And so they've been around for as long as the Spanish have been around in New Mexico. So
now, if the BLM didn't round them up, would they just live happy lives? Is there enough for them to eat and enough habitat for them to live in?
Well, I would never be naive enough to say that there's just plenty of room for as many horses as that can be bred out there. That's not true. The public lands that where they live is shrinking, and there's a big competition with cattle grazing and oil and gas excavation. And so what would happen is they would probably continue to breed, and there would be too many of them for the range to sustain, especially in the drought. So yes, it is necessary to manage the numbers. But in the next breath, there are millions and millions of cattle and sheep grazing on the same land. That there's only 25,000 to 30,000 wild horses and millions of cattle and sheep. So there is grazing out there for more horses. So the numbers do need to be controlled. But there are other ways besides roundups to control them. There's birth control. Birth control has been around for a long time now, and you can actually control the numbers in the wild, and maybe even just cut the birth rate down to half, not eradicate it. But so the roundups really are redundant, and it's obvious they haven't been working, because you wouldn't stockpile 50,000 horses if you had a successful policy.
Now, these horses that are available for adoption, if somebody adopts a wild horse, can they make it a domestic horse? I mean, is it like adopting a coyote instead of a poodle? I mean,
yes, you could look at it that way. Well, a coyote that was born a wild coyote, not born in your living room. But yes, easily. I mean, some of these horses make the best horses and are very trainable. One of the movies that we're showing is called Wild Horse, Wild Ride. And it shows regular people. Some of them are trainers, but some are just regular people who enter the Extreme Mustang Makeover competition, and they're given 100 days to train a wild Mustang, and then they bring it and they show it in a competition, and they compete, and then and the horses are so trained. I mean, they're trailer loaded, rideable. They do tricks. I mean, some of this stuff is just amazing, and it's all done within 100 days with a totally wild horse to start with, and we're not talking a baby horse either. We're talking a mature horse. And then those horses go up for auction at the end of it.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and it's a great film. I mean, it's each person's story with their horse is very different from the next. But then they all come together at the end of the movie to show their horses and compete.
So the Wild Horse Film Showcase, we're talking to Jackie Fleming, is this Friday and Saturday, the 4th and 5th. And on Friday, you're going to be showing the film El Caballo at Collected Works Bookstore, and you'll also be having a reception for the winners of the 4th Annual Equine Photo Contest. That's at 5 o'clock. The film is at 6 o'clock. Now, you've been doing this photo contest every year, is that right?
Yeah, this is our 4th year, so yeah.
And it's fantastic. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, and the pictures that come in, I mean, I'm so glad I'm not a judge. Because it's tough to pick. You know, you've only got first and second place and 3 honorable mentions. And you look at those pictures and go, oh, I'm so glad it's not me having to pick. And some of them have just been absolutely astounding this year. And they're all for sale on Friday. And the prices are really reasonable. So,
and are they all pretty much made in New Mexico?
Oh, no. Most of these entries have come from all over the country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So people know about this.
Yes, because we put our sanctuary is like we are on Facebook, and we've got people from Spain, and I don't really know how that works, but we've got people who have liked our page, and you can see by their names and stuff, like, Russia? How did that happen?
Amazing.
And so if we put, well, we don't, the contest isn't international, it's just national, but if we put it out that way, we reach our people from all over the country.
Yeah, you'd have Mongolian horse photographs.
Yes, which would be fantastic. But like I tell them when they ask, it's just that we have to show them at the end of it. Shipping would be a little bit tough for them to ship it from Mongolia,
to
put it on the wall. So,
tell us about the film El Caballo.
Well, it's an older film, but the subject matter and all of the information is still very current and very relevant. And it just talks about the politics and the history of the wild horse and the politics of what's happening to them now. And, it's just a sort of, in a nutshell, kind of film if you want to know the whole story of the history of wild horses, what's happening to them now, and the politics behind it, and the competition for the same land, all of that. There's still so many people out there that haven't got a clue what's happening, and this is a great way to educate yourself in an hour, and it's a very good film.
And that's a free event.
It's a free event, yeah. I mean, there's limited seating, but still we've sat quite a few people in there. And the Collector Works have been so faithful to us. They've hosted this every year for us. And it started off by accident, but this has become traditional to show a film now. And it's part and parcel. And that's how the showcase came about, was that the film seemed to be a very popular thing. And I thought, well, why don't we show a few more films than just one film? And
well, just watching horses run around, magnificent creatures most of us don't get to really spend time with. I mean, there are some people who are listening who are going to be horse people, but most of us just get to, like, look at the pictures and wish.
Look over the fence. Yeah,
exactly. So the next day, on Saturday, you're going to be screening 4 films at the Palace of the Governor, starting at 10 in the morning, going until 7 in the evening.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting event because people have to get their tickets in advance because you're not allowed to sell tickets at the door.
That's right. I mean, it's a fantastic venue, but they don't allow us to sell the tickets on site. So we need to sell them, and we can sell them. We're using the Lensix box office. Although it's not at the Lensic, we're using their box office, so people can buy the tickets online or at the box office itself or over the phone.
And so they can actually show up on Saturday, go to the Lensic box office, and then walk 2 blocks, 3 blocks to Palace of the Governors.
Yes.
And go to these films. And you've got some films that we've talked about before on the show. The first one in the morning at 10:30 is Wild Horses and Renegades.
Yeah, James Kleinart's fantastic film. And that's another film that covers the entire subject matter. It's a little longer and more involved, but it's got some incredible footage. And again, it tells you really everything involved in what's happening with wild horses right now. That film's been on the documentary film channel, too.
Right.
So
yeah, that's become a successful film. It's been seen a lot, but it's nice to see that on a bigger screen.
On a big screen, too. Absolutely. He did a beautiful job.
Now, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the film She Had Some Horses, which
yes.
features, among other people, you.
Well, yes. It's Donna Wells's fantastic documentary. And it's women's relationships with horses. It does go into the wild horse issue from a whole different slant. It doesn't actually show roundups or anything like that, but there's more sentimentality of what it's going to be like if all the horses are gone from the wild. And it does have our sanctuary. It has Sandy Claypool's sanctuary, Monero Mustangs, which is up by Chama in New Mexico. And Lynn Pomerantz does wild horse workshops. She takes people out to photograph wild horses in the wild, and it focuses a lot on her. And we all just talk a little bit about our experiences with horses and what they mean to us. And it's beautifully done, and the soundtrack is fantastic. So,
and Wild Horse Wild Ride, you talked about a few minutes ago.
Yes.
The challenge with a 100 horses turned from wild horses into...
Well, 100 days.
100, that's right, sorry.
100 days.
100 days.
Yeah. They go pick them up from the BLM, and then they they get to start. And as I said, they're not all professional trainers.
Yeah.
A lot of these are people who... One lady's really quite inexperienced, and everyone's looking at her like she's bitten off way more than she can chew. And sure enough, she shows up at the end of the day. So,
do all the horses then find new permanent homes?
Well, it says so in the movie, and I would like to believe it. Somebody told me that's not true, but I think probably most of them do. Because I think one of the daunting things for people is the idea of taking something wild. I mean, it's a romantic idea, but it's also a daunting idea. And this way, you can get a Mustang that was in the wild, but it's already been trained to be ridden and trained to do all kinds of things. When you see this film, you can see that some of these horses are really, really refined horses by the end of it.
So at 5 o'clock is the last film on Saturday. It's called Running Wild.
Yes, and this is more about Dayton O'Hyde than his sanctuary, but it's fascinating.
Dayton O'Hyde. I thought you were going to say Dayton, Ohio.
No. he started the Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary in South Dakota. It's one of the first, if not the first, wild horse sanctuaries. It's got 11,000 acres and 500 horses. And I still haven't been there. It would be my trip to Mecca to go out there. But it's more about him, the man, and he has a fascinating life story. It obviously goes into the sanctuary to some degree, but it just follows his life as well. And so it's a great movie about a great man and a great cause, you know.
So all of these are, except for the Friday night, all of the Saturday movies are at the Palace of the Governor's Auditorium, and that is right on the plaza here in Santa Fe. You can get your tickets in advance by calling 988-1234. That's the Lenzic box office. You can also go to ticketssantafe.org. You can also just walk over to the Lenzic and buy some tickets. And you, Jackie, are the founder of the Cimarron Sky Dog Reserve. And Cimarron means what?
Wild and untamable.
Wild and untamable, which that other movie tells us isn't true. But anyway.
Yes.
And Sky Dog is...
It's one of the old Native American names for a horse.
And how is your sanctuary doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Most of our horses are running on 1,100 acres, but the drought has really taken a toll, and I didn't think it could get worse than last year, but it's been incredibly dry up there. We've had nothing since December.
Good heavens.
And it literally looks like the Dust Bowl when the wind's blowing. It's quite disheartening. So,
have you had to buy hay?
Yes, yes. We're feeding the horses to keep them from overgrazing the range. because I'm as much about protecting the range as I am the horses. Last summer we got some rain, so they were back out doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is looking after themselves, really. But now I'm feeding them hay again to get them through, and we just have to keep our fingers crossed that we get a good monsoon.
Jackie Fleming is talking to us about the Wild Horse Film Showcase. Once again, Friday night at Collected Works, Saturday all day at the Palace of the Governors. If you want to find out more about the Cimarron Sky Dog Reserve, you can go to CimarronSkyDog.org. Jackie Fleming, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.